Woke up this morning, found a letter that she wrote. She said she's tired that I'm always on the road.
Hey y'all, I'm Tommy Tomlinson. And from WFAE in Charlotte, this is Southbound. That music you hear is Anthony Hamilton, the Grammy-winning singer and songwriter from Charlotte. Hamilton has spent his career working a fertile patch of rhythm and blues, sometimes on old school records that might remind you of Al Green or Bill Withers, other times pairing his voice with hip-hop beats. But this summer of death and protests on the streets has made him rethink his sound once again. And it's made him wonder about the best way to talk about it to his six sons. You might hear some noise from time to time as we talk. Hamilton spoke to me from his truck, riding around town as contractors worked on his house. Here's our conversation. You wrote this song like 15 years ago called Ain't Nobody Worrying. And it was about how so many black people were suffering and nobody else seemed to care.
Ain't nobody worrying when the shots fly high and the sirens start to ring. Ain't nobody worrying when the kids die young and the mothers are suffering.
Well, this year, after George Floyd, people at the very least are paying attention, maybe in a way they hadn't before. And I'm just wondering how you have sort of processed and thought about what's gone on in this country the last few months.
Yeah, I have, you know, and being a father of six black males, you know, it worries me and it frightens me and then angers me what's going on, like the blatant disregard for, you know, a black man's life or anyone, this matter, just the hate that's always been here and how it's now blatant disrespect and disregard for our lives. So it kind of, you know, puts me in a creative space to speak about it and to bring awareness to how we feel, the voice, how our souls feel, how they felt for so many years. So it's in a place of a warrior, being a warrior right now, being very vigilant about how I feel, about being really intentional about what bothers me, what angers me, and what the things that I want to see fixed. So that's where I am. I'm in that area and in that mind frame.
So I was going to ask, has this inspired you to be making music? And do you feel like the music you're making now needs to sort of speak to this moment?
Yes, it has inspired me. I've got some really amazing songs that are, you know, that are going to be on the project. When I first started recording the first single that I did featuring Rick James, it was something totally different. I thought the world would be in a different place. But since then, I pushed back the release and I want to speak about where we are and, you know, speak about it and bring some people with me and, you know, and plan an escape in terms of the most emotional, you know, baggage and scars that we have. I want to take us away from that as well.
Have you found that that's been like an easy place for you to access emotionally, or has it been hard to do for you?
You know, that's sometimes, unfortunately, it's, I can do it. And fortunately, you know, people look for me to speak about it. I think my voice and the soul behind my voice, it's more comfort coming from me as opposed to me singing something that's just random. I think people look for me for a message. I think they look to me for the voice of Martin Luther King, the voice of Frederick Douglass, the voice of Barack, the voice of, you know, Martin Luther King. So that voice and that spirit and that energy, I think people, they definitely can depend on me to be that.
I'm wondering, you know, something a lot of us have felt, certainly since the, you know, the coronavirus and all that started, is like just a lack of energy. you know, the days all seem to run together, and it's sometimes it feels like it's hard to get out of bed in the morning or that sort of thing. Have you noticed any of that at all? And has that affected what you've been able to produce and put together?
Well, you know, I've been pretty excited to get up. You know, I have three little ones that, you know, I have joint custody. My ex-wife and I, we co-parent very well. But my three younger ones, my youngest is 8, my twins are about to be 10. So they make sure I'm up. So, and then they come up with plenty of energy. So, but then, you know, when it first started, there was a really weird feeling. It was a weird emptiness and like a pause on everything, from energy to just it was just a eerie feeling. But now I think I'm starting to get, you know, maybe 2 months in, I started getting the hang of it. You know, when you take a situation and you embrace it, I think you have more power in that situation. So, you know, say, hey, this is where we are. Let's make the best of it.
So how are you kind of dealing with all this stuff as a parent? You know, I'm thinking about these two things. First of all, you know, the pandemic, I'm sure, has kept your kids inside a lot more than they want to be. And then all the protests and all the things this summer. How are you talking to your kids about these things?
Well, I'm letting them know firsthand that, you know, what's happening, what prejudice is, what injustice is, and, you know, making sure they have an idea of where we are, not just the pandemic. I want them to know about that as well, about, you know, keeping your mask on when we go places, washing your hands immediately when we come in the house, take your shoes, leave them in the garage, we'll spray them, and just letting them be aware of where we are and being honest in this moment so they can really take it in. And letting them know, like, you know, we're making history. It's not some of the best things that can be happening right now in our lives, but we are making history. You guys will be a part of this history. So let's have fun. Let's find new ways to make our days beautiful. We go for bike rides, walks, and, you know, things like that to kind of ease our mind and take us away from it all. But for the most part, we staying in and staying away from old Corona.
I'm also thinking about, you know, how you talk to your kids about what this summer has been like with the protests and the police violence and all that sort of thing. You know, it seems like, you know, every Black person I know has a story, something that happened to them growing up. I'm wondering if you have a story about yourself that you tell your kids.
Well, that's so many stories, like stories that are told from Malcolm X and those stories, that all those are connected. This has like been one big long story. This is just a new chapter, but I'll let them know that, you know, Blacks were hung, lynched, drugged by trucks. You know, at one point in time, we weren't able to go to school with kids that were white and different water fountains and all that stuff. I said, so now it's a new version of it. I don't think it's not. It's just as blatant, but it's covered up. It's like a corporate prejudice now. Like, you know, we'll work together. We know, you know, you're valuable to me, but you're still not. You're still not on my level. So I let them know that people look at them as if they're beneath them. Not everybody, but a lot of people will look at you like you're beneath them and that you're not worthy. And I said, that's when you do your best part of being your best you, and you keep your head high. I don't care, no matter who it is, what it is, you keep your head high and you know exactly who you are and what you're capable of. And, you know, you see, Daddy, I've made it through all that and I'm still making it. I said, but it's all about being wise, all about choosing what attitude to, you know, to combat ignorance with. Because there's a world now, it's always been full of ignorance, but now it's just, people are just not shy about how they feel.
I asked you earlier about, you know, making different kinds of music and that sort of thing. I wanted to kind of come back around on that and ask if all the stuff that's happened in the last few months has gotten you listening to different kinds of music. Is there stuff that is kind of in your head or that you're playing now around the house that's different than what you used to listen to?
Yeah. I've been listening to some jazz, and then I've been listening to some really hardcore hip hop. Like I've listened to some of NWA. I went back to some of the NWA with After Police. And but then I go and I listen to some Robert Glasper, and then I go into some more jazz, some older jazz, like Miles Davis and those guys, and just put it on random and just kind of, sometimes it's best to have music without words sometimes, so I can, you know, take it all in and not be distracted by somebody else's thoughts. Sometimes it's so much coming at me. Sometimes it's good to just kind of have a moment to just let all your thoughts kind of be their own and not be entertained by social media and music and stuff. But I've been through Donny Hathaway's playlist. For all we know, we may never meet again. And before you go, make this moment sweet again. So those kind of songs that usher in the haunting of like the spirit of God and the spirit of your ancestors, those type of songs have been really very helpful during this time. And it makes me create from that.
When we come back, Anthony Hamilton talks about singing with the dead and singing to crowds he can't see. That and more ahead on Southbound. Hey, y'all, if you have ever said, I want to make a podcast, well, now's your chance. WFAE, Charlotte's NPR news source, is excited to announce the very first Charlotte Podcast Festival. It's taking place October 5th through the 30th in collaboration with Bloomingdale Performing Arts, Queen City Podcast Network, and Eclex Creative Agency. The Charlotte Podcast Festival is free and open to the public, with virtual sessions devoted to teaching attendees podcast production, marketing, monetization, and community building. If you're a podcast fan, this is a great opportunity to meet some of your favorite podcasters, like Away Messages' Jeremy Markovich, She Says' Sarah D'Elia, and The Black Guy Who Tips' Rod and Karen Morrow. And if you're a podcaster, this is your chance to learn podcast tips and tricks from folks, including me. So mark your calendars, save your virtual seat, and join us at the Charlotte Podcast Festival. For more information and to RSVP, go to charlottepodcastfestival.com. Now, back to our conversation with Anthony Hamilton. The last single before all this happened that you had was with Rick James, who had obviously passed away. You've done stuff where you've recorded with Tupac's voice and that sort of thing. And what is that like, recording with somebody, you know, the recording of somebody who's gone? Do you think about that differently than if you're collaborating with somebody who's still around?
Yeah, you do. You know, I want to do them proud. I want to make their families proud. I want to, you know, pray that their spirit of who they really were musically, that it's felt in the music and that it's captured in my performance as well. And just to be in that moment and that energy and allow them to live again and me to connect with them through joining energies and music.
So you live your life most of the time either on the road or in the studio. Are you like totally stir crazy now?
You know, for the first time in so many years, like, you know, I had toured. One time I toured so long that I bruised my vocal cords and I had to be quiet for like 3 months. But for the first time, you know, I was forced to, you know, have to sit down. And for the first 2 months, it was peaceful. It was beautiful. It was like, I don't have any excuse but to rest. Any excuse. And I became more patient with the kids, more patient with online computer stuff that would have blown my mind had I been on tour, because I was worn out. So I've been enjoying it. But now I miss being able to go outside and really be outside, sit down and have a beer without having to have a mask on right after my first sip away from people. Just a hug, just a slap five, a high five, a pound, or a brotherly embrace, you know, or just to hug a woman and to feel like, okay, I don't have to worry about anything. Just to say hello. Those things are missed. Sitting in your favorite restaurant or your favorite bar or just going to Target or anywhere, you know, you kind of miss those things without having the mask and the sanitizer. It's so many parts to getting in a car and getting out of a car now. I just thought maybe you open the door, you get in, turn the car on, get to where you're going, take care of that, you get back in. But now you got to wipe, some people, they test they check your temperature and, you know, so many steps now just to do simple things. It just kind of makes you not want to do it.
And I know that a lot of the studio work that gets done these days is done, sometimes people are in different places and that sort of thing. Have y'all been able to make music at the level you want to make it with everybody scattered?
I've been able to record. I started recording before this, but there's a studio here that's really amazing. Maximus Music Recordings. It's really been quarantined. It's very brand new. The rooms are, when you're in there, it's shut down. No one can get in there, and it's sanitized. It's just a really clean place. So I feel really good going there. Any other studio, I wouldn't dare probably step into at all, actually. But I've been able to do that. I had Stephanie Mills to come in and do some backgrounds, the Hamiltones to come in and do some backgrounds, and you know, doing Skype, Zoom sessions and stuff like that. I just talked to John Legend yesterday, and we're planning to do some co-writing through FaceTime or Zoom or whatever. So I'm looking forward to collaborating with him as well. So.
Well, also, I've been wondering, you know, you've done a couple of performances now online for like fundraising events and that sort of thing, where it's just, you know, you, I assume maybe at your house or somewhere where it's kind of a remote location. And I've wondered about that as a performer, what that's like to perform when you know people are watching you, but there's not a crowd there.
You know, it was kind of, at the time when I first decided to do it, it was needed by me and needed by my fans. So it was a really beautiful embrace. Still a little different, still a little like, I don't know how it's coming across to them in the beginning. But once I got started, the first song, the second song, I was in that mode. I was in that space of, wow, I'm connecting. And then I saw it was like the numbers are going up, and it got up to about 80,000 people, the very first one on Instagram. And I was like, this is powerful. And so you start to think, you're moving the needle, you're touching some people, and people are really needing this. So you become more comfortable in that space, and it becomes something more than just a performance. It becomes a medicine.
It's funny you mentioned therapy and thinking about medicine for people. I know in your book, you talk about that space behind your grandma's couch that was like this place of refuge for you when you were a kid, to sort of get away, to be able to think and that sort of thing. I know we're now mostly on quarantine, but you've got you know, kids in the house and that sort of thing too. Are you able to find that place of refuge now? And if so, where is it for you?
Yeah, you know, I am able to do it. A lot of times, like I'm in my truck now, I'll come get in my truck, sit in the garage or in the front yard, and just kind of just woosah or listen to a tune or two. But what I've really found joy in is riding bike riding, you know, whether it be with the kids or without. Some days they was like, I don't feel like it. They want to play video games. I was like, you know what? I'm going to go outside and just ride up and down the street and ride around the block, just right in, you know, in my little immediate area. While they're sitting in there, I'm just going to just let it go. And that's been really helpful for me.
Was it hard when you've done these, like, kind of live performances online and stuff? Has it been hard to keep the kids away from your, like, your area while you're, or are they watching you do it?
There's been times, yeah, they've watched a few times. And then there's been times in the middle of my performance, I'm like, hey, daddy's working. I mean, because I'm home, man. It's like, after a while, it's like, okay, that was a bump thump. So after a while, I was like, all right, these people are at my house. This is what's going on. This is a part of it.
I do wonder whether that is, you know, this has forced people to be more at home and that sort of thing. It does seem like there's something nice about that sort of reality that's different than a stage show that's super produced. You know, like I know so many people have been watching D-Nice do these DJ sets basically from his house and that sort of thing. Although it looks like he's upgraded to a nicer place now. But anyway, I just wonder whether that might be part of the future for performers, whether they might do these sort of house shows, for lack of a better word, more in the future. I mean, do you feel like that's something that might happen?
I believe it's going to be a time, a little while before people are comfortable going back into venues. I don't think it's the same feeling when you have to wear a mask to a concert. So there's going to be people who are going to be hesitant about going out just for safety. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of house performances. I think the more COVID is, you know, pretty much contained, I think people will be freer to, you know, allow people in their homes, whether it be, you know, the musicians or sound people or lighting guy, camera guys. But I do believe that it's going to take a new shape and a way for performances to be delivered.
So this, it feels like this year has changed everybody in some way, you know, between the virus and the protests and everything. It's like we're all going to come out of the other end of this different people somehow. And I'm wondering how you feel like this year has changed you.
You know, this year has changed me in a few ways. It's made me appreciate my children even deeper. Their health and their well-being, the fact that they're okay, it makes it even more beautiful. It's made me more patient because it lets you know that you don't really control anything other than how you take things in, how you embrace what's happening, your perspective, how you allow it to affect you. And that's been really important for me. It's made me think, you know, I've always been a person who was into outreach, but now it's like people are really, really hurting. So it made me more of a, even more so a giver. Spiritually, I want to connect to my God and make sure that I stay connected to the source. It's allowed me to look at people and really, really pay attention to what I feel that spirit is giving me. Now certain smiles that would have been okay now seem to be not so kind. I think people now, you know, you're not so naive. It makes you really pay attention to what's happening. Don't be so naive. Don't be so gullible with, you know, every kind gesture is not a kind gesture. But then on the other side, it's just like, there are people who are really open-hearted and really serious about joining on with the good fight for injustice. And it allowed me to see that more of the world feels like me than those that are created in hate. And it gives it, you know, even though it seems like a hopeless world, it gives a different kind of hope.
I can't stay away from you too long.
Hard times make for great art. You can still create when you're happy and serene, but a lot of artists find their creative core in struggle and suffering. Anthony Hamilton's music has always had some of that. He often takes deep dives into lost love, but now he's looking to press harder on some of the social issues that have spilled onto the streets of our country. I imagine a lot of artists are working through the same things, trying to figure out something that speaks to the moment without sounding cheap or phony. One day it'll be rewarding to look back on all this through the lenses of artists who can help us understand. Although, to be honest, it might be rewarding enough just to be looking back on it, period. Southbound is a production of WFAE in Charlotte. Our audience engagement producer is Joni Deutsch. Our main theme music comes from Josh Turner. You can listen to this and other episodes of Southbound on the NPR One app, iTunes, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find Southbound on WFAE.org, where each episode has show notes with more information on that week's guest. See y'all next time. Thanks for listening. And the reason for it all.